And I wanted to bring a message this morning entitled My Past, Present, and Future, Genesis chapter 50. Now, jump down if you will. Oh, let's go down to verse 15. Verse 15, Genesis 50. Note what it says. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now, most of you know this story and what's being played out here. You remember Joseph was obviously sold at a very young age by his brothers, betrayed. He spent much of his adult life in Egypt and he worked his way up through the ranks. You know the story. Endured tremendous hardship, to say it nicely. And now, lo and behold, here comes his brethren looking for food. And you know the story. They must come to Joseph and all that unfolds there. Now the father's died and his brothers start getting real nervous and said, now that daddy's gone, remember what he said. He's probably going to put us in prison. He's probably going to have us executed for all that we did to him. And Joseph's response is one of the most amazing responses in the Word of God. It is the epitome. It is the highest level of a response to somebody who's done wrong to an individual, isn't it? He responds in the most perfect way, spiritually speaking. No other person in human history has responded better than Joseph, except for Jesus Christ. It says when they reviled him, he reviled not again. When they spat on him and beat him and everything else, Jesus did not return that, did he? No. Now think about this. As you know, Joseph is a type of Jesus. As we said before, there's somewhere around 21 types of Jesus in the Bible. There's somewhere around 18 to 19 types of Antichrist in the Bible. And it would really help you and encourage you in your Bible study if you take that called typology and find the types of Jesus in Scripture. Joseph is one of them. He exemplified Jesus Christ, didn't he? Now, I wanted you to note with me this morning, my past, present, and future, that's something we must all consider, because if I can't figure out my past, it's going to affect my present. And if I don't do something about the present, it's eventually going to affect my future. You know where I'm going with that, I'm sure. Notice with me, first of all, though, that we see here there's a reminder of the past. There's a reminder of the past. Verses 15 through 18 or so, we won't reread it, but it talks about his brethren said, oh, please, remember what dad said. Remember not to punish us. Now, if you follow these boys, these brothers through Scripture, they're not good people. And isn't it amazing that God took one of them by the name of Judah, who was probably one of the worst brothers, and through his line came the Messiah? That's a wonderful testimony and picture of who Jesus is, of who our Lord is, where he took us from and where we are today. Amen? And that's what he says. These brothers were not good people. They were betrayers. They were liars. They were deceivers. They were whoremongers. They were men that would not give you the shirt off their back, to put it lightly. And out of all of them, there was one, the brother Joseph. Just a good reminder that you don't have to be like those in your family. You can stand out. You can stick out. And notice the reminder of the past. They said, now, Joseph, remember, let me say something as we start out this morning. Your past does not define who you are. Isn't that true? Your past. Thank God for that, by the way. I'm glad my past does not define who I am. Well, you used to be. Thank God I'm not. Remember that, friends. You and I lived a life prior, possibly, I don't know, maybe you didn't, but a life that would be labeled a very heretical life, one that lived a life outside of and against the Word of God. We didn't live like we're supposed to live. Even if you grew up in a perfect home, I mean, everything was just grand and right. There wasn't infidelity. There was no sin in the home. And you grew up with a mom and dad. Everything was just fine. You still are labeled a sinner according to the Bible, right? A sinner. Now think about that. Today, we have some flies, but today we're going to see that. Now notice his past. Your past does not define you. I like that. And Joseph, in response to this, now what should have Joseph said? Here's the thing. What should you and could you respond with? No, we don't live by that, do we? See, nobody would have been upset or mad or angry at Joseph if he said, okay, now that dad's gone, I want all of you here and I'm going to execute all of you. Nobody would have said. They would have said, well, they deserved it. No, not what you could and should. Notice what you're supposed to. See, there's a vast difference in Scripture. Well, I could return evil for evil. I could. Well, you know what they did. I should know. What are you supposed to do? We said this a few weeks ago. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you follow that verse in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, not that I want to do. I can do all things through Christ that I'm supposed to do. See, what you're supposed to do is the hard part. I know I'm supposed to, but it's too hard to do. I know I'm supposed to, but I can't do it. No, you can if you go with and through the power of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. So your past doesn't define you. I'm so thankful that that's true, because you think about characters in the Bible, not only our own lives, but you think about Peter. Peter was one that spoke up in front of everyone and said, Lord, I know all these suckers are going to betray you, but not me. And he was the only one, in fact, that betrayed Christ. And boy, he came on that seashore that day and they looked out. He said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to making money. I'm sick of this. We've got nothing out of this. We're persecuted. Our Savior, who was supposed to come and rule and reign, they took and crucified him, and we don't even know where he is. I'm going fishing. He's out on that boat, and John turns to him and says, Peter, look who's on the shore. And Peter looked, and he said, oh, it's the Lord. Peter jumps in the water and swims up to the shore and comes over, and Jesus has a little talk around the campfire, doesn't he? He says, Peter, feed my sheep. I've called you to do something, but Lord, I betrayed you. I've called you to do what I want you to do. What about my past? Forget it. Forget it. I love our Lord and Savior and what He does, but one of the things I love the most is that He says, you know what? Just forget that. Now, there's consequences we have to pay. We have to pay for those things we did in the past, right? And some of you and some of us are still paying for that today. We still have to deal with the memories and the illicit thoughts. We still have to deal with those things, people that hurt you as a child or whatever. You still got to deal with that stuff. I'm not minimizing that, but I'm saying that doesn't define you, and I'm thankful for that. There was a man one day traveling down the road, and his purpose and goal was to go and literally execute Christians. And on the road, bright light shone down, didn't it? And he fell to his face. And by the way, these evil, demonic, heretical people over in the Middle East right now that are spitting on the cross, they will all bow a knee one day to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not might, will. And I know you agree with that. Everyone will bow at the presence of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you of something real quick. You are on the winning side. Don't forget that. There's a lot of turmoil going on right now. A lot of these individuals crying Allah Akbar and other things. Allah is supreme. He's not. He is a man-made God. We serve the living God, right? We serve the living God. And a bright light shone down upon this fella, and it was the Lord. And he says to Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. See, there's something going on in Saul's heart, didn't it? And he later would give the testimony and say, when I saw your servant Stephen down, bowed down, and we were throwing rocks at him and stoning him to death, something hurt me inside. There was a prick, something inside. That's called conviction. We've all come to that. I hope you have. There's a conviction inside. There's something that bothered Saul. And Saul said, Lord, what about my past? What about what I've done? God says, it's okay. You've got to deal with the consequences of it, but to me, it's wiped clean. I'm going to use you to preach to the Gentiles. And the Bible says that he came in and there was a man by the name of Ananias. And the Lord came to Ananias by night. And he said, Ananias, there's a man by the name of Saul. And Ananias said, not Saul of Tarsus, right? Yeah. And guess what? He got saved. And I want you to go over there and I want you to encourage him and comfort him. And Ananias said, Lord, but, you ever do that? Lord, but don't you know what he's done? The Lord gently said, yes, I'm the Lord. I know everything. And Ananias took a little bit of faith and he went out and put his arm around Paul. And he said, brother, I'm here to help you. And then he later would go, and there was a brother in the church by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas, the son of consolation, he was an encourager. And none of the people in the church would listen to Paul because they thought he was an infiltrator. They thought he came to infiltrate the church. They thought he was undercover. And they said, we won't have him here, but except for Barnabas came, put his arm around him, said, brother, no one else believes you, but I do. Boy, we need more of those, don't we? No one else does, but I do. And Paul went forward. He said, you know how in the past I persecuted the Jews. That was his testimony for the rest of his life, wasn't it? Paul, what are you going to preach on Sunday? My testimony. And if you follow the book of Acts, you watch, Paul's message is so simple yet so profound. And sometimes if you're like me, I get it so cloudy, I try to add so much to it, and I confuse people. Keep your testimony simple. The gospel is simple. And that's why we have these tracts. Take these. Use them. If you don't know what to say, use them. And Paul said, what? You know my past. But let me tell you something. It doesn't define me. I'm going to put it aside and put it away, and I'm going to move forward for Christ. And I want to encourage you something today, my friends, the brethren today, beloved. We stand here today not looking at our past, but we go forward because of Christ and what He's done for us. I know your past isn't very pretty, but you go ahead and go forward for Christ. What hinders you today from moving forward? What hinders you this morning from moving forward with Christ and doing what He's called you to do? What hinders you from serving Christ to the capacity and the level that we're called to serve Him in? Sometimes it's your past. There's two authors in the New Testament. One is James and another one is Jude. These two men, we believe, according to church history, that they were the half-brothers of Jesus. And if we follow the Bible in John 7, it says that both of his brothers, in fact, all of his brothers, we're not sure his exact amount, how many brothers and sisters he had. The Bible's not clear. But we believe these two men were the ones in John 7 that rejected Jesus and said, if you're really the Messiah, go show yourself to the world, you coward. You're not the Messiah. Why are you preaching all these people, telling them you're the Messiah, and then you come and hide here in the backside of nowhere? Later they find out he was the Messiah. When he was high and lifted up, the Bible says, they will know. And let me tell you something. He was lifted up off the earth, up into the air on that old rugged cross, but he's coming back the opposite. He'll come out of the sky down to earth, and everybody will know. Every eye shall see. Now think about this. Those brothers that rejected Jesus, what about their past? And they wrote a letter and said, church, I'm writing you a letter. Whoa, aren't you the one that rejected Jesus? You'll always have a critic, won't you? Always. I said it before, I'll say it again. You want a critic, just step out by faith. I mean, just start coming to church consistently and you will get critics. And you'll get somebody or something will happen. I was talking to somebody recently. He said, Brother Tim, there are just so many problems right now in my life. And I said, well, are you serving the Lord? He said, yes. Well, that's why I'm confused. He said, I've stepped up my game. I've been more faithful. I've been reading my Bible more. I've been turning the TV off. I've not been doing things. I've been doing, and I've just had more problems. And I said, that's a good thing. If everything is smooth in a dark world that's ruled by Satan, something's wrong. But if you're going against the grain, if you're living against that, if everything, you're going against a wicked world that's ruled by the God of this world in 2 Corinthians 4, you're doing something right. Amen? Don't forget that. Don't forget, it is hard. It is challenging. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. But one day soon we'll be with Him. It'll all be over. Don't let your past define you. Let me say secondly, there's the reminder of the position or the present. Notice verse 19 again. And Joseph said unto them, now if you were here, just take a minute, what would you say? I know what I would have said. Think about this. Joseph was the most powerful man on planet Earth. The Bible says every nation came to Joseph. They came to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, in a diplomatic way. Pharaoh, I am the ruler of the blah, 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 in Ethiopia or in India somewhere, and we need food and we'd like to work. He says, I don't deal with that. Go see Joseph. Everybody in the world came to see Joseph, and Joseph had the final authority. How much do you need? All right. Yes or no? All right. Most powerful man in the world. Joseph, with the snap of a finger, not even a snap, he could just look at one of his servants and wink at him. They would take him and execute him. And he has this power. There are men throughout Scripture that are known, their character, number one characteristic. You know what it is? It's called meekness. You know what meekness is? We studied it on Wednesday night. Meekness is strength under control. People think meekness is weakness. He's a meek man. Oh, he's weak. No, he's not. If you have power, you know that. If you've ever studied martial arts or other things like that, the first thing they teach you is what? Control. You have power to hurt people. You have the ability to really hurt somebody. You must control that, right? There's meekness. And Joseph said, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" Now follow Scripture, and I want you to study your Bibles very closely. There's two words, am I. Where have we seen that before flipped? Many times, I am. He says, I am. We don't say that. We flip it. Am I? Am I? Lord, am I? Am I what you want me to be? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I responding the way you want me to say how to respond? Am I being who I'm supposed to be? Am I living the way? You notice that? Joseph says what? Am I in the place of God? God, the supreme creator? Did you know most people in Egypt at that time believed Joseph was a god? That's how their religion, you know that. You've studied that, I'm sure. The Egyptian religion, if you want to call it that, these people were gods. Pharaoh was God, wasn't he? Cleopatra was a goddess. Gods. Joseph was known as a god. Now, he didn't ever accept it, obviously. He didn't ever receive it. He always pushed the glory to Jehovah God. But that's what they thought of him. And Joseph says, am I in the place of God? Notice this, a reminder of his present position. Now, let me say position is all about perspective. It really is. Because if how people see you in your present position may not be very well or very good, but how you see yourself. I saw the story, interview of a guy, old hillbilly in the backwoods. I mean, he was a hillbilly of a hillbilly. And they interviewed him and said, sir, what's it like living in such poverty? What's it, you know, he was a city slicker interviewing this guy. What's it like living in such, and the guy was happy as a clam. I love it out here. You do? You live in this thing? Oh, I love it. What's all this junk in your front yard? That's my treasure. That's all my good stuff. Don't touch any of it. You know, that's all. I thought about that. Isn't that true? All about perspective. And you got people sitting in a $3 million condo in New York City that can't stand life. And they're trying to plan out how to kill themselves this week. Isn't that true? More money, more problems. My friends, think about it. Your perspective ought to come out of this book. Well, I don't have much. I'm not much. I don't speak well. I don't have a good family. My dad left me. My mom isn't around. I don't know what I have. Stop. What does the Bible say about you? You know what it says? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that I'm a child of God. The Bible says I'm an heir, a joint heir with Christ. I'm something special. Joseph was something special in the world's eye. But notice, he recognized his present position. Am I in the place of God? No. Verse 20, But as for you, ye thought evil against me. Excuse me. God meant it unto good. For what reason? To bring to pass, God's timing, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Here's the purpose. You thought evil, God meant it unto good. Now that's some Christian maturity right there that I've not attained yet. When somebody spits evil at me, when somebody speaks evil to me, when your ex, whoever it is, speaks evil about you and to you, listen, could you say, well, God meant it unto good, I guess, to bring to pass, to save much people alive. Isn't it amazing? Now remember this. During the process of all that Joseph went through, during his beating, his betrayal, all the things they would do to these young boys as a slave, we won't go through, everything he endured, day after day, thinking he was going to die. He wasn't thinking this. Well, the Lord's just, he trusted God. When the time came and revelation came, oh, now I see what God was doing. You ever been there? Now I know it. Now I see what God's doing. Now I understand what he was doing in my life. That's Christian maturity. We trust God during the hard times. We don't understand what's happening. Paul would later say in the book of 2 Corinthians, he says, we're perplexed. We're often perplexed. That means confused. Not in despair. We're confused often. You ever confused about what God is doing? Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't get, Lord, why you would allow that. I don't know why this is happening. I'm perplexed often, but I'm not throwing my hands up and saying, God, I don't get it, therefore I'm going to quit trusting. No, he says, I trust. Your position now. My friends, can I encourage you with this? Are you in the position God wants you to be in? Number one, are you saved? If you were to die today, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know where you would go? I have a responsibility to say that. If you don't know, now would be a good time. After the service this morning, I love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I've done that with many of you already. And it's wonderful. It's easy. Isn't it easy? It's not confusing. It's not hard to do. We don't embarrass you. We don't point you out. We don't bring you up front. That's what it is. Are you saved? What's your present position right now? Number two, if you are saved, do you understand who you are? Do you understand what the responsibility with which you carry, what you hold? The Bible's very clear. If you're saved, you and I are commanded to propagate the truth. I have something inside. There's a famous, I don't know what you would call him. He's a magician, I guess you would say it. You ever heard of the guy that's part of Penn and Teller? You heard of that guy? I can't remember which guy he is, and I had a video. I was going to bring it, but I didn't. But have you seen his interview? He says, I am an open atheist. I do not believe in God. He said, but if you Christians claim to know the truth and have the truth, and that truth would either send me to heaven or hell, dividing, why are you not saying it to anyone? If that's the truth, if you really hold the truth, like you say, how come you're so tight-lipped? Why don't you really say it? Why don't you ever preach it? Why don't you tell everybody about it? I thought, man, that's convicting, isn't it? I mean, do we really believe this? Do you really believe the gospel? Do you really believe this book that was written thousands of years ago by men? Mistake-riddled, mistake-prone men wrote this book? You believe this thing? I mean, really? Do you really believe that Jesus is coming back? I mean, that sounds crazy. That's crazy talk, isn't it? Do you believe in a God you've never seen? Now, all of us are shaking our heads. Yes. The world doesn't think. They think we're crazy. But we know the truth. The present position. I must hurry here. Joseph said, I'm not in the place of God. Your perspective is wrong, brothers. My perspective is correct. Stop worrying about what the world thinks of you. Stop thinking about what your coworkers think of. Stop worrying about what the world and your family and other people say about you. And you serve God. And you focus on God. And you say, okay, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Let me say thirdly, and we'll wrap it up. Notice the recipient of the peace. Of the peace. There was peace in Joseph's heart. There was once in his life no peace. He sat in a rat-infested, wet, dark, dank prison cell, didn't he? He made his way up. He finally got to the top. And what happened? He got falsely accused of rape. Sent back. Two steps forward, three steps back. You ever been there in life? Struggle, struggle, struggle. Notice the recipient of the present peace. He says now, I understand what God is doing. Verse 21, we'll close it out. Now, therefore, fear ye not. He says it again. I will nourish you and your little ones. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. See, Joseph looked past his, I won't use the word, but his brothers. Do you have family members that you just love? Well, you have to love them, right? You have to love them. But he looked past and he saw the little kids in the back. He saw the kids and the grandkids. He thought, you know, we need to put aside some petty things in order to save the kids. Put aside some petty problems to save the kids. And he said, listen, I will nourish you. There's something in the New Testament about a father and his responsibility. It says we're to raise the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurturing them goes along the same lines of nourishing them. Not just food, not just water, not just those things, but more than that, spiritual. And listen, thank God that you're providing for your kids and they're not going to turn around and say thank you, but you nourish them in the things of God. And as we said last week, I've taught you, I've given you everything you need to go forward now and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. One thing you'll notice about Joseph, and I'll close it out here, his mouth. If you follow Joseph's life, he always had this under control, didn't he? One of the marks of a person filled with the Spirit, and I'm still working on it, by the way, is control of this thing. Has this thing gotten you in more trouble? My goodness. Oh, I mean, just trouble. Just don't say it. Oh, and I said it. Shoot, I shouldn't have said that. You come back to Joseph had control, didn't he? And it says, notice he spake kindly unto them. He said the right thing at the right time. And when once they heard his voice, and the Bible says this, the brother said, oh, I do remember Joseph screaming and crying out in that little hole we put him in. And they took him in a pit when he was a teenage boy, and I kicked him in it. And he fell down in the bottom. He said, brothers, help me out. And they stood there staring at him. Help me. Guys, please, help me, please. And they stared at him. And Joseph, after time, about 2 hours into it, he started crying. Guys, please, this isn't funny anymore. Help me. And they stood and stared at him. And finally left. Reuben said, what'd you do? We put him in the pit. What'd you do? Get him out. It's too late. We sold him. And the brothers would later say, oh, how we heard his cry as they took him away in that carriage. We heard him cry and scream. They did nothing about it. Here's the same voice. You look different, but the voice is the same. You look different, the voice is the same. Joseph had control of his mouth. And he had control, consequently, of his heart. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of your mouth is from the heart. And that's what it is. My friends, I want to encourage you with this today. Don't let your past define you. Remember your position right now. You're a child of the King. You're saved. If you're not saved, we'll handle that in just a minute. Thirdly, you're the recipient of present peace. I don't have time this morning, but there's a few things I hope to get to next week. There's something about peace in the Bible. There's a false peace in Jeremiah 6. It says, "You tell my people peace, peace," when there's no peace. That's what's happening right now in the Middle East. There's peace. There'll be no peace. There will never be peace over there, if you know your Bible, until what? He comes back. There's no peace. And they're going to fight and fight and fight, all the politicizing that's going on and all the world leaders getting together, and they're kicking the guy out of the UN while he's trying to speak up on behalf of his country and everything else. There'll be no peace. There's false peace in the world, and there's something called perfect peace in Isaiah 26. There is perfect peace. It's only through Jesus Christ, only through Him. My friends, how's your past? What's your present like? And listen, do you have the peace of God in your heart? Joseph had it. He truly did. I must stop there this morning, but I thank you for listening so well. I want to encourage you with that this week. As you study your Bible and stay in the Bible this week, think about that. Lord, help me to stop thinking about my past. It doesn't define me. Help me to live for the present in your will, by your power, by your strength. And Lord, give me the peace that I need to go forward in this world. Jesus said, "I give you peace, not as the world gives peace." You know what kind of peace they give? Temporary peace. Through the bottle, through the pill, through the drugs, through the pornography. It's temporary. God says, Jesus says, "I give you peace, not as the world gives you peace. I give you peace, eternal peace." Peace with God, that's salvation. And peace in this world, in this life. Doesn't eliminate all of our problems, but we know there's something different. It's the Holy Spirit within us. Lord, thank you for this morning. I must stop there. Thank you for your wonderful work of grace. I pray you'd continue to help us, Lord. As we're walking in this world, it's hard. It's difficult. We know that. These dear folks in this room know that. Father, I thank you for their great faith, their walk with you, their consistency. I'm so encouraged when they come and tell me about what they've done and how they've shared the gospel, or they've invited somebody to church, or they've been staying faithful in their Bible reading or prayer closet. That encourages me so much, and I thank you. Pray you'd guide us now today, Lord. Watch over us. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.